I want you, when you get a hold of that offering envelope, I don't want it just to be something that doesn't mean anything. We've had a lot of people come to Jamie and me about how we operate financially. The Lord told me several years ago to not take a salary. And the elders at the time, some deacons of our church, they were like, "What? How are you going to make it?" And I began to minister to them, well, how we make it is we trust God. Because the church in this, where I pastor, is it cannot be my provider. God has to be the provider. And then when he's the provider, then he'll put it on the hearts of people to give to us. And then when I transitioned and Howdy and Ricky that minister here, when I'm gone and they rotate, how we give them a love offering. And I think that's a very good thing. And yes, I understand some of you have asked, they have jobs. But when they preach, you're sowing a seed into their ministry. And man, that's a blessed thing. But not only that, is you're saying, God, I want to be led by you. Where do I give? Yes, for me and Jamie, this is our job. We don't have a job. This is it. But when you sow into us, you're sowing seed into ground that you should get a harvest back. Amen. And so don't ever be confused about giving, honoring the Lord with your tithes and offerings. Because as you know, it takes a lot of money for us to go out to the college finals. Just ask any of us. And we use money wisely. But then we're also believing to finish a building. I had one meeting this week with the building crew, and I hadn't had a chance to meet with some of the other folks, but I started getting these bids in, and I've gotten three or four of them that they've handed me personally, and then we're getting the rest of them. I told them I want to see them in my hand. I want to know, what is it going to take to finish that building? And when I started adding up all of it, it was right around $100,000 just to finish the kids' church. Now, that may sound like a lot of money, but we've spent that on what we have right now on the kids' church. It just cost. So when we all corporately together start believing for God to provide, not just for me and Jamie, thank God. I want to thank y'all that help us. When we're gone and you still give to us, you don't have to. But man, God puts it on your heart. Thank you. You don't know how much that means to us as a ministry. But we also have to continue to believe God to finish something that he started. And so when God prompts you to give above a tithe and you give an offering to the kids' church, I want you to know that seed is important to the kingdom of God. Amen? And again, by a Levitical law of the Old Testament, you do not have to give. Not by law. But if you're smart, you'll operate in the kingdom of God by obedience and get in his principles of sowing and reaping. And don't ever get out of that, because when you do, you're going to be in trouble. And so when you give in these buckets, I want you to give with those attitudes of, I want to obey you, Lord. I don't want money to control me. I want you to control. I want you to be in charge. And thank you for giving me the ability to make a living. And some of you, it's a lot. Some of you, you're still barely getting by. But you know what? If you'll get into those principles of, I'm going to sow finances into the kingdom of God, then I'm going to believe to reap a harvest. And the harvest is finances. I don't know why that's so strange to people. When you give to the Lord, You should expect the harvest back. Seed, time, say it with me, harvest. When you sow a seed to the Lord, you ought to receive and expect a harvest. Why? So you can get out of debt, so that you can be a blessing to someone else, so you can keep giving to build the... We do everything here for the new people. We do everything debt-free. I'm not going to go borrow. Now, if I was in a business, it would be a little different, but not at this church, because we're honoring God. We don't have a product to sell that makes money. No, we just trust the provider, Jesus. Amen? And so, when y'all give, let's give with an impacted. I want to make an impact into the kingdom of God with that heart. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise. Where's our special? Come on. Mary's going to do a special for us. Can't wait.
God, I give you what I can today, these scattered ashes that I've hid away. I lay it all at your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name, show me the love I say I believe. Oh, help me to lay it down. Oh, Lord, I lay it down. Oh, let this be where I die. My Lord, with thee crucified, be lifted high as my kingdoms fall once and for all, once and for all. There is victory in my Savior's loss, in the crimson flowing from the cross. Pour over me, pour over me, yeah, yes. Oh, let this be where I die. My Lord, with thee crucified, be lifted high as my kingdoms fall once and for all, once and for all. Crucified, be lifted high. fall once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all.
Good. Good job. Good job. Kind of scary up here, huh?
Yeah.
I understand. Come on, give her a hand. Amen. You just got to think of yourself up here. Amen. So I appreciate your bravery, and you did good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. With a big round of applause, I'm going to dismiss kids and I'm going to dismiss the youth. You ready? And I want y'all to clap, please. The reason we clap is because we're praying for those teachers. Be able to do what they're called to do. Amen? So, with a big round of applause, Kids Miss, Kids Church and Youth Group are dismissed. Amen? Come on! Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you brought a Bible? Let me see all the Bibles. Just raise them up. If you have a Bible, lift them high. I want to see. I love it when people bring their word. If you can, get in the habit of bringing your Bible to church. And really, you ought to keep it with you all the time. Because that's our manual. That's our source of everything. We're Christians. If you're not saved and born again and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, today he's going to be. Say amen to that. Why would you wait? I want to minister a message. I didn't know, you know, when I was young in the ministry many years ago, you know, it was a set pattern of how I did things. I mean, I prepared a message. You're always taught in Bible schools, and I was raised in the ministry with my family. But you're always taught, you know, how to deliver a message. You know, you get your subject, and then you get scripture on it. You want to make it, you know, practical with the crowd and help them understand it and those kind of things. And Bible school calls it a three-point message. And we can get so mixed up and so bogged down on a three-part message or 3 points that we forget that the Bible says that we are to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, that's the third of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, say it with me, and the Holy Spirit. Growing up, we called him the Holy Ghost. And people were like, he's a ghost? They didn't understand the Spirit of God. But it's the Spirit of God, the third of that Trinity, that God left here to minister to all of us right now. Because listen, the Father is not here. He's in heaven. And his Son, though he was here 33 and a half years, he's not here any longer. Why? Because he was crucified, raised from the dead. Say amen to that. Because that's the, man, that's the resurrection power you and I live with today. The power of God, see. Okay, so the Son now is at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is here. He's the one that convicts. What? He's the one that says, don't do that. But he's not the one that condemns. And he's not the guilty one. No, that's the devil. There comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, a thief. And that thief is here to destroy. Well, I've been ministering in my heart a message. I always try before I go to the college finals and I start my summer travel. you know, just asking the Lord, man, what do you have? And I had a little opportunity to minister this message at the Wendy Ryan Memorial. You know, there's a calf roping, team roping, steer roping. And, you know, some of us went over there, me and Ricky and Daryl and the ladies, and we went and ministered. And I ministered a little bit of this message and tried to warm it up. I tried to do it here and God moved me in different directions. And then I delivered it at the College National Finals, and there was a real great move of God. But I believe that you need to hear exactly what God had put on my heart about attacks. Because we all already understand that there is a God and there is a devil. There is a heaven and there is a hell, the place. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about you're going through a time that seems like hell on earth. No, no, no. No, it won't even compare to the place called hell. Okay, so you've got God. You have blessing. You have heaven. But you also, as we all know, because of Adam and Eve sinning in that garden, a new nature came that now is represented by hell, by the enemy's attacks. I mean, he does not want you to have joy in your life. He does not want anyone in here or watching us to have any kind of peace in your life. His job, again, is to steal from you, to try to kill you. Not just physically, because he tries that, but spiritually. And then he tries to destroy our life. He tries to get us off of that road that God really wants us on, that road that leads to the peace of God that passes understanding. He doesn't want us to have joy, I can promise you that. He wants our minds to be meditating on all the junk of this world, all the things that we're going through. And if I went across this crowd and I did, you know, just ask the question at the college finals, is any of you going through some attack right now? Is there anybody that's been through an attack? Do you feel like you're under an attack of the devil? Do you feel like he's trying to stop you in some areas? That he's trying to stop you from, you know, getting to your destination? Or do you know someone that has been going through an attack? So those three questions, you either feel like you're under attack, you've been through the attack, or you know someone. If that's you, let me see your hand. Because it ought to be everybody, right? I mean, we know someone that's been going through something like you've gone through. Here's the key word, though. You have gone through it. You're not building that tent and staying in that tent of bitterness and regret and sickness and disease and all the bad things that the enemy is trying to do to you. No, you need to get rid of the tent. And you need to go on through the valley of the shadow of death, but just don't you dare fear no evil, because your God is with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you, the Word of God. So really, all we have to do is believe. We've got to believe this Bible, that it is yes and it is amen. It's not just a book. Oh, man, I freaked out of church one time. Have I told y'all? I think I've told you a couple times. I mean, this church, they asked me to minister. Matter of fact, until here recently, they have supported our ministry, Cowboy Ministries Outreach, when we travel. They've supported us for several years. I mean, a lot of years. But they asked me to preach one time, And I knew what was going on in this church. Matter of fact, they had gone through, in 5 years, 25 pastors. 25 pastors. They either fired them or they left fast. And so they asked me to preach. Big mistake. Well, for the devil, anyway. I got a cowboy Bible. that we have back there. Does anybody have a cowboy Bible? Anybody have one close? You got one close? Let me see that thing. And I grabbed the cowboy Bible. I think it was one of these, because we were already printing these Bibles. And I said, well, it's an honor to be here this morning. There was about maybe 30 or 40 people left in this church. And it used to be very big, very big. Had probably 200 or 300 at one time when I first went there years ago. And I said, it's an honor to be here, preach the Word of God to you. But I realize that some of you don't believe this book. And I said, not a problem. It's not a big deal. If you don't believe all of it, it's not a big deal. I have a solution. I said, because if you don't believe in healing, let's say you've been taught that healing went away with the old covenant and God doesn't heal everyone, kind of like we've heard before. That is a lie. It's not a big deal. If you don't believe it, all these scriptures that talk about it, and I ripped the pages out and threw them on the floor. I said, not a problem. We'll just take that out of the Bible. I'm talking 40 people are like, oh. I almost got kicked out right then. But I guess they had such respect for me since they had known me for that. And I said, oh yeah, all you people that don't forgive, it's not a problem. Let's just take all the healing right there, all the healing scriptures, and let's just, and I ripped it up and threw it on the floor. Oh yeah, and all of you people that don't believe in tithing and believe that, you know, that church and that preacher is just trying to get our money. I've seen talking about money in churches split churches before, back when. I didn't ever understand that, because the Bible talks about money 2,036 times in some way. And if he talks about it that much, about sowing and reaping, and he did all parables about ground. But if you don't believe that stuff, it's not a problem. Let's just take that out. And I threw it on the ground. Oh, and if you don't believe in those, that the baptism, the Holy Ghost stuff, you know, that us Baptists wasn't taught about, you know, the tongue stuff, Mitsubishi, Kawasaki, Hyundai. Not a problem. Let's get that out of the book. And at the very end, all I had was the cover, you see. Because the enemy wants to attack you with unbelief, with doubting, and with a lot of fear. That's his job today. But you've got to be an overcomer of that. And so the Lord began to minister, and he gave me some things. Matter of fact, four things that I have within 25 minutes, because I'm looking at the big clock in the back. Four things and ways to overcome the attacks that Satan's trying to do in your life right now, possibly. And you need these four things, because the older you get and the more gray hair, y'all have heard me say this before. I mean, it seems like the attacks come more when we get older. Usually health issues, right? When you're young, a lot of insecurities. I mean, you're just trying to find someone to marry that's actually right for you and not crazy. Anybody out there? You're in a point of, you know, I'm not talking about little kids, because they have that kid-like faith. They don't care about nothing. But see, that's what we've got to get back to. That childlike faith where we just say, God, I don't care what's going on in this world. I am going to trust you no matter what. You see, that's what I did about tithing years ago. Growing up in a family, we just didn't have much. Matter of fact, you can ask my mom and dad. They didn't get taught what finally we are getting taught in these last, 25, 30 years. So all that time, We didn't get taught what the Bible talks about according, you know, about prosperity, let's say. How God delights in the prosperity of his kids, his servants. No, we were always taught, don't say nothing about that. We weren't ever taught that if we got sick, that we can actually believe God that by His stripes we're healed. I mean, they would put us on the prayer list, and we would stay on it for a long time. Never understood that. I never understood, if you didn't believe that God actually heals everybody, why would you even get put on a list? You might as well not pray, you see. So we had to overcome a whole bunch of unbelief and things that we just didn't know. And so when I was in college, I had to have a Pell Grant, a student loan, a rodeo scholarship. My first year, I had a job. I mean, whatever it took to make money, we did it. One day, I got on my knees and I said, God, this is where I'm asking you to get to. No matter what's going on in your life, or if you know someone that's going through it, you've got to get them to this place of saying, God, I have $1,000 here. This is an example. The tithe of $1,000 is $100. But, sir, my bills are $1,500. And one day I got on my knees. I'll never forget it. 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas, when I was in college. That was the house we lived in. Matter of fact, that was the house we partied in. I wasn't a preacher then. But I got on my knees and I said, Father, I know that you're faithful. And I said, I know I have $1,000 and I'm going to trust you, sir. Because I owe $1,500 and that's going to leave me $900. But I am trusting you and I'm giving you. And I don't care. You see, that's where we got to get to, is I just don't care, sir. I'm just trusting. If I go under, I'm going under with you, sir. And I'm telling you, from that very moment, I've never had a financial struggle since. I mean, I've had some times where we've had to shut down and let's believe God for more or to do different things that we needed accomplished. But I'm telling you, that one time of saying, God, I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I'm going to trust you, sir. And I was amazed that finances just came from ways I wasn't expecting. I wasn't begging. I've never been a preacher. And I told the Lord when he called me in the ministry, that's why I don't take a salary here. I just trust him. I said, God, I will never beg for money. Mm-mm. I said, if you own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and your streets are gold, then I'm going to trust you. I mean, I've had to live that way my whole life. I was going to preach for George Strait and I preached for George Strait for years, and one of the first years going down to his big rope and where he asked me to come preach, I drove all night because I couldn't afford a motel. And I drove all night to preach at George Strait's roping for him. And I had to sleep on a pickup front seat. And I'm telling you, y'all know that heard this story. They wasn't smooth back then. The Dodge seats, they had this hump. And so when I got up in the morning, I felt like, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. I'm going to go tell someone about Jesus that they want to be just like me. And one day I said, Father, I work for you, sir, and I'd kind of like a motorhome. I'm tired of sleeping in a truck. So I sowed a seed, started believing God, man. I mean, I was believing. Every time I saw a motorhome, I would say, thank you, Jesus, for my motorhome. I did that hundreds and hundreds of times a day. But I sowed the seed. I sowed a seed to a minister that needed something that I wanted, that I needed. I was traveling everywhere. I wasn't married. A month and 13 days later, a man and a woman walked up to me and said, hey, God told me to give you a motorhome. You should have said amen there. Because if he did it for me, he's got to do it for you. Here's the problem, though. Is I would suggest you be specific when you pray. Because I got a 1976 travel craft. It was called a travel craft. Listen, it was nice, though. It had 36,000 actual miles on a 454 gasoline engine. There was still plastic over all the seat. It was nice. But I'm just here to tell you, over that length of time, a 454 engine on a good day with the wind behind you got 3 miles to the gallon. It's like, wait a minute, Lord, I'm spending more. But God used it because I was believing him. I slept 14 college boys in there one time because I was ministering to them. You see, there's always going to be attacks in our life, but we've got to use the Word of God to get out of those attacks. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 that Satan, like a roaming lion, is seeking whom he may devour. You have to understand that the devil is looking for someone that he can devour. He's looking at someone that's going through a tough time, that's give out and tired, because that's when he usually attacks most people, right? When you're give out and tired. And he's looking. That's what the devil does. And he just is looking for someone that he can attack. And he tries to attack any of us, because he's no respecter of persons either. And he'll go to one, and then when he tries to attack this one, when you know the Word of God, all you've got to do is say, Jesus.
Psalm 91, say Jesus.
Woo-hoo. And the Bible says when you, at the name of Jesus, and when you just say it at his name, yeah. Yeah. He's got to flee from
That's
you.
Right.
Because Jesus has given us that power. We can use his name. So when we say Jesus, that devil has to flee. But he always comes back, right? I mean, here he comes again, messing with me the same. I've gotten tired over the years of saying, God, it's me again. I'm coming back again, sir. I apologize, sir. I did it again. Because he comes back. But the Word says when you're submitted to him and you resist him, he's got to flee from you, see. Well, listen, if we understand that he's like a he's roaming, seeking whom he may devour. If you resist him enough, he's going to flee from you. And if he comes back, you resist him again. And if he comes back, you resist him again. And then he starts going to someone else that he might devour. But it's not going to be you. Why? Because the Spirit of God has the anointing on you that breaks every yoke of bondage. And it sets every captive free. And the more you're submitted to God, I didn't say you had to come up here and preach. I didn't say you had to sing a song. I didn't say you had to be behind a pulpit. I'm just saying if you know who you are in Christ Jesus and you begin to resist him, he's got to flee from you. And you got to have that faith on the inside of you. Well, that's one way that God showed me to get people freed from the attacks. Resist him. Here's another way. Withstand him. In other words, and I love preaching this to rodeo people because and sports people and just Christian people in general, because we don't have a give up spirit. I mean, we don't have time to give up. But I'm here to tell you the devil wants you to give up. Yeah, you know how most people miss it is with this. Look at me. The mouth. I mean, they'll believe God one minute. Father, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That's what that preacher guy said. And then the next minute, it's like, well, this just stuff doesn't work for me. I mean, I've tried tithing. And I'll ask someone, how long you tithe? I've tried it for 2 months. I said, well, how long have you not tithed? 40 years. You see, the enemy will mess you up with this mouth. And this mouth will cause you to give up. But I'm here to tell you, when you keep that faith, when you withstand him, that's a never give up spirit, man. Here's the second one. I started with the fourth one. Here's the second one. Be firm in your faith. In James, you remember in James, and I ministered this morning because Blake's back there. Y'all can't see Blake, but he's all the way back in the back. Just look back there and wave at him. Hey, Blake, you know. Hi, Blake. About a month and a half ago, I turned down a lot of invitations to go preach all over the country. And I was called, and they had a postmaster's, you know, male postmaster. They had a postmaster convention in Austin, and they wanted me to come and minister at it. And I told them, we're preparing for this service when you want me to do it this morning at 8 o'clock. And we can't physically get all the way from Austin and get prepared to come and minister here. And so I heard that I knew Blake had a job with the Postal Service, and I believe Leander or wherever. And I said, hey, they want you to preach to a bunch of postmasters from Texas. But they didn't want him to preach. They just wanted him to sing. So I said, I gave him some tips. Just get your old guitar out and sing some good songs, and then whoever preaches, they're ready to go. Well, at 7:10 this morning, he called me and said, hey, there's a little wrinkle. I'm thinking, uh-oh, what? He said, well, they want me to do the whole service. Well, all he was prepared for, though, is playing with his guitar. I said, not a problem. Here's what you do. I told Ricky and them about this morning. I said, here's what you do. Go to James chapter 1. I said, and then just start reading James chapter 1. And when you get down to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that that temptation and that trial will produce patience, I said, focus on the joy for a minute. And I said, then make it relatable to them, because just tell them things like, hey, you know, we're in the mail business, and dealing with mail probably causes a lot of stress. And dealing with the people that are trying to mail something probably causes a lot of stress. But here James is trying to minister to us all to count it all joy. And I said, just spend a little time on joy. Well, that's what he did. And he texted me back. His service started at 8 o'clock. He texted me at 8:34. I said, that's a short service right there, brother. But here's what he texted. 4 people got saved. You see, listen, the enemy wanted him to give up. He wanted, just because of there was a little bit of change in his life, the enemy wanted him to give up, but he stayed firm in his faith. He said, God, you're going to have to take this thing over. Here's the third thing about ways to overcome an attack. If it's happening to you now, or if you've been through it, or you know someone, is you got to stay rooted in the Word. You've got to stay established. In the book of John, it talks about how we've got to stay strong and immovable and determined, because we have to stay rooted in this Word. Not my opinion. My opinion will fail you, but this Word of God will not fail you. That's why you come to church, praise God, is you start finding out what is in that Bible. And hopefully, if I'm worth my salt, I'm trying to teach you the works of the ministry according to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm trying to get the saints, all of you born again ministers. I'm not saying ministers behind the pulpit, but all of us have a ministry of something. It might be at your job. It might be with children. It might be just being a mother or a father. I don't care what it might be, but I'm here to tell you my job is to get the saints to do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry might be going to the hospital and praying over someone. It might be praying over someone that comes in this church that is a little bit down. It might be praying over someone that's going through things that we didn't even know you was going through. But just to the discerning spirit saying, hey, you're a winner and not a loser. You will make it. You will not fail. You can do it. You're more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves you. You can do it. You're destined to do it, praise God. Well, then the devil comes. No, you're not. You're this, you're that. You don't know enough scripture. You haven't prayed long enough. I mean, that's what he tries to tell us, right? Oh, come on. You're not worthy. That's what I heard growing up. Y'all remember? You're not worthy. You're not worthy. And then I found out, you know what? When I gave my life to Jesus, before it, I was not worthy. But since I gave my life to Jesus, I am worthy. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says that I'm an heir of God. And I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that, y'all. When we're going through the attacks, all you got to say is, no, I'm an heir of God. Wait a minute. Oh, I've let this devil, and sometimes we do that through our mouths or whatever. We'll let the devil kind of rise up. No. When we resist him, no, you're not making me mad. You're not going to make me sad. You're not going to make me upset. I'm not going to get worried. Nuh-uh. When you start doing that to the devil, he's like, oh, man, I can't mess with that one. Let me seek someone else. I might not. Oh, there he is. I got this boy. I can tell he hadn't been praying very much. Uh-huh. And then you say what? Jesus. Louder.
Jesus.
That's better. And then Jesus goes, what'd you say? What? What'd you say?
Jesus.
Okay. I ain't gonna mess with that one. There he is. I can mess with. He thought you. I'll just mess with both of you. And then you'll say,
Jesus.
There he is. He's looking down. I can mess with this one. Oh, yeah. He's a new guy. He never been to church before. And then you're going to say,
Jesus.
Okay. Oh, yeah. There's got to be people at the back because they're scared of everything. Jesus. Okay. Darn it. She said it too fast. And then,
Jesus.
Okay. You see what's happening? Is he's roaming. Let's see, where can I? I can mess with. I remember her past. I remember what she did back in college. Got her. And then you'll say,
Jesus.
She said something because there was a time when I would say, Jesus. It was in a Coliseum in Abilene, Texas, years ago. And they were disrupting, man. And I was preaching to a few hundred people, but we were in one big section. And these people came into the Coliseum to watch the rodeo in like 30, 40 minutes or whatever. I'm talking loud. They didn't care what we were doing. And so the Spirit of God just said, say Jesus. That's what I did. I said, and I mean, I was preaching and I just stopped. Crowd probably didn't know what in the world was I doing. And I yelled, Jesus! The Lord said, say it again. I said, Jesus! And I'm telling you, you couldn't hear a pin drop in that Coliseum. Why? Because at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. So you might be going through an attack. You have victory through maintaining your faith. staying rooted in the Word of God, having a no give up attitude, and then resisting Him. That fourth one I started with. Resist Him, because when you resist Him, He has to flee. See, this will help you, or help someone you know, to get on through the attack. Because the attacks are inevitable. I mean, they're going to come. There's a devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's going to attack you. Just don't blame God. God's giving you a way out of it. The devil's trying to get you down and kill, steal, and destroy. But now, you've got victory through Jesus. Not the church. It's just where we meet. Not a denominational doctrine. No, you have victory in, say it with me, Jesus. Say it louder.
Jesus.
So the next time you go through, or you're tempted to go through something, and that's why I say this. Me and my wife do not go through trials and tribulations like most people. The reason is we go through them. When I see the enemy trying to attack my family, I know what to do. When I see him attacking this church, I've done it many times over the years. Just a few months ago, a few weeks ago about this church, I take authority over that devil. I say, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to destroy and divide this church. I say, and this is what I say out of my mouth. You do this in your situation if you ever need to. I say, Satan, I take authority over you in Jesus' name, and you get your hands off of this church, off of the people of this church, off of their finances, off of their health. And we command you to get under our feet where you belong. The Bible says, whatsoever is loosed in heaven will be loosed on earth. And whatsoever is binded in heaven will be bound on earth. And we loose the Spirit of God to move in this church where people will be healed, delivered, set free, and saved to the glory of God. And we bind any distractions, anything that would try to destroy this church, especially when Pastor Corey has gone out there preaching the gospel or ministering one-on-one, if it's that. I'm telling you, the attacks will not keep us down. We're going to get on through them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right. So when we leave here in just a second, let's leave in faith. Amen? Let's leave with a smile on our face. I've got the victory. Because trust me, when you get out of the gates of this church, I mean, there's a lot of safety right here in numbers when we're under the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. But when you get out there by yourself, you've got to remind Satan, wait a minute, Jesus said he would never leave me or forsake me, so he's with me. Come on, brother. Devil, you want to mess with me? Huh? I mean, Leapfrog, remember all those shows? Come on. That's how you defeat him. Amen? Amen. Come on. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful time and under the anointing of you. I thank you, Father, that everybody in the sound of my voice, regardless of the attack they may be going through, they've been through, and it might be small in their mind, and it could be major attacks. Father, there's victory. And it's all in your Son, Jesus, who is our Savior. Sir, if there's one person at the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus as Lord, as your word says, sir, would you begin to draw their heart to you? Just draw their heart. Soften it. There's a lot of junk going on in this world, sir, that's made people's hearts very hard. And I'm asking you to soften every single heart that does not know you. Matter of fact, even the people that know you, man, that's just gotten bitter because of things that's happened in their lives after they gave their life to you, I ask you to soften their heart as well. But again, sir, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice, either watching or live right here in this audience, that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord. They don't know if they'd go to heaven or the place called hell. I'm asking you to cause them to open up their hearts to receive the only way, according to John 14, to come to you, the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto you except through Jesus. So, Father, open the hearts of the people. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here or you're watching and you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to go to heaven. He's a wonderful God. I don't want you to go to hell. But in order to go to heaven, you have to receive Jesus as Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you, wherever you're at, to pray this prayer with me. And matter of fact, all the believers in here, we're going to pray it with you as well. And we're going to invite Jesus to come into our lives. Now, for us saved people, He already is. But if He's not in your life, we're just going to pray it with you. So would you all pray this prayer? If you're in here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you're to heaven or hell when you die, ask Jesus to come in. I'm telling you, when you die, you'll bust heaven wide open and not hell. So just ask Him to come in. And this is the prayer we'll pray, Romans 10 and 9. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Would you all pray it? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Romans says now I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a believer in Jesus. And when I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and being my Savior. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, what I do at this church is when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I just prayed that prayer and gave my life to Jesus this morning. I want you to raise it up and say, God, I meant it, and then just put it right back down. Here's why I do this. The Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. Don't ever be afraid and ashamed of giving your life to Jesus. All I'm asking you to do is right where you're sitting. I'm not going to have you come down. Wherever you're at, if you just prayed that prayer, when I count to three, if that was you and you gave your life to Jesus, just raise your hand right up, put it right back down. Would you do that with boldness? Is there anyone in here or watching? When I say three, get it up. You ready? With boldness. One, you just gave your life to Jesus. Two, three, go. All right, look at me, y'all. There was not one person that raised their hand. That means we're all born again. Amen. Going to heaven. That's good news. Going to heaven. Next week, Trey Johnson, as I said, a mighty man of God. Do not miss next week. Bring some friends. He's going to come and minister. I get to hear him preach. I've heard him many times, but we traveled for 2 years together in ministry when we first started in the 90s. Early 90s. And so it's going to be an honor to have him. Also, when we dismiss, if y'all don't mind, we need to fold all the chairs up. They're going to mop this floor. It's that time. And so they just need help getting the chairs up and putting them on the racks. But I think that's all the announcements we have. Did y'all have a good time? Amen. Thank you, Lord.